We know.
All right, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I just want to read two passages of Scripture before we move on to the next group of people that we're going to look at witnessing to tonight. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53 says this: "It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." If you jump across to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. John chapter 7. And we'll just read the first five verses of John chapter 7. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go unto Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him." One of the hardest groups of people to witness to, not Muslims, not Jews, not Jehovah's Witnesses, and not atheists, and not Buddhists, Hindus. The hardest group of people to witness to are the ones who know us best. Our friends and our family. That is a difficult group to witness to. Now you might say, oh, wait a minute, you know, we're talking about witnessing to people in the denominations. And well, sometimes these are people that don't really fit into any of those categories. They may fit into one of those religious groups. They might not have any beliefs. They might be an atheist. They might be a Catholic, a Jew, whatever it is. But the point is this, that the hardest people to witness to are our friends and family. I think there's a misconception that it's easier to witness to strangers because there's no repercussions. You don't really know who they are. Sometimes it's easier to go into another church to preach because you can basically say what you want and let the pastor pick up the pieces. So oftentimes we might think, well, it's easier to witness to strangers because, you know, you're never going to see them again. But it's actually harder to witness to family members and friends because of those reasons, because you will see them again, because they do know you better than anyone else. Many Christians refrain from spiritual conversation with friends and family because they don't want to be labeled as hypocrites. And this is where the personal testimony is important. You know, I must bore people senseless week in and week out when I say the same things. Make sure you read your Bibles. Make sure you pray in. Make sure you have a good testimony. Because the people outside of these walls will always say the same thing. The church is full of hypocrites. And even this week I've heard Christians say something about somewhere else because of the way in which they've treated a family member. And that's not the way a church ought to behave. That's not the way a Christian ought to behave. So we need to make sure that our testimonies are right, because when it comes time to witness to our family, the last thing we want then is our family turn around and go in, that's hypocritical. Because you're living your life this way, but then all of a sudden, you're telling me that I ought to be doing this, that, and the other. The last thing we want to hear is words along the lines of, you ought to practice what you preach. So, we might refrain from witnessing to our friends and family because we don't want to come across as hypocritical. Well, if that's the case, we want to make sure then that our testimony is such that we can witness to our friends and family so they can't turn around and say, ah, yeah, but you've said this, but you do that. Maybe we refuse to witness to our friends and family because they won't be they won't hold back then in saying what they think. You know, we might say, oh, I don't want to witness them because they're not going to hold back. They're just going to, you know, give it to us both battles because, you know, they know us better. Christians are fearful of the repercussions they may face as a result of sharing the gospel with family and friends. And that part of that is true, but then it depends how we share the gospel. I've said this before, and I am embarrassed to say this, and it taught me a great lesson when it comes to witnessing, but I probably did more damage in witnessing to my brother because of the way I witnessed to him quite a few years ago, because it was quite an angry, heated exchange. And maybe we can be fearful of sharing the gospel with our family because will that affect a future relationship? What will they then think of us? You know, how will that affect my relationship then as a brother, as a son, as a father, as a husband, as a wife? How, you know, will that relationship then be affected? But, like I said before, if the testimony is right and the way in which we present the gospel is right, then it ought to be done in a spirit of meekness. You know, we're told if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, then we have to go to him in a spirit of meekness. And it ought to be the same when we're sharing the gospel. I understand that we don't water down sin or sugarcoat hell or anything like that, but there's still a way that we can talk about those things without being antagonistic, as it were. One of the things that is massive in the States at the moment is something called friendship evangelism. And what that is basically you don't really share the gospel with anybody until you've built up a friendship. And then once you've built up the friendship, then you are comfortable enough to be able to share your faith with somebody. Well, that's great. But how long does it take to build up a relationship? How long before it's the right time? I'll be honest with you. You know, I've been friends with people for years and years and years. I've known people for years and years and years. When's the right time to share the gospel with them? How long before you have the exact opportunity? The thing is this, we don't know what tomorrow holds. So it's great building up friendships, but if we're never going to get round to sharing the gospel with them, what is the point in having a friend who's going to end up lost and never sharing the gospel with them than maybe causing a little bit of offense by stepping out and telling them what Christ wants us to tell them? Now, that's not saying you can't be friends with people. Don't get me wrong. That's not saying, well, you know, you're not to go out and be friends with anybody. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we don't wait to build up this kind of relationship before we can ever share the gospel with anybody. What is it then that our friends and our family has in common with every group that we've talked about so far? They might not belong to any of those groups, but what do they have in common with every single person from that group? Unsaved. They need the Lord. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to come to know Christ as their Savior. Madeline doesn't think it matters how many times you close them doors. I think they're just going to keep blowing open. They need the Lord. They need to be saved. It's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Just. If you stay out there, I'll talk louder for you. So unsaved family need to hear the gospel. They need to come to know Christ as their Saviour. Oftentimes, I think when people say, I don't know what to say, I think underlying that is, not that I don't know what to say, but I'm afraid. I know what to say, but I'm afraid to say it. And we're afraid for several reasons. We're afraid because of the repercussions. We're afraid because of maybe damaged relationships. We're afraid because of what they might think, what they might say. I remember probably 10 years ago, we took the church to a bank holiday meeting up in, I think it was Oxford Way, I think, the 1 year, and we were challenged. The last preacher on that meeting challenged every one of us before the day was through to witness to at least one person. And you know what it's like when the preacher embarrasses you by getting you to raise your hand and, you know, forces you into doing something. So I put my hand up. I'll witness to somebody before the day is out. I remember stopping in the services and I had my tract in my hand and I paid for my coffee and I thought, I'm going to witness to this person now. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I got home and I'm sat in the house and I'm just so convicted because I've not witnessed to anybody. And I promised, not the preacher, but I promised the Lord that I'd witness to somebody. Now, I'd already offended my brother to the point where my brother wasn't talking to me with the gospel because I shouted at him. So I said, I'll phone my brother-in-law. So I phoned my brother-in-law and I said, this is like 9, 10 o'clock on a bank holiday Monday. So I phoned my brother-in-law. I said, hey, Math, is me. Right. Oh, yeah, what's the matter? I need to tell you something. Oh, right, okay. And I just went through the whole gospel of them, the plan of salvation. And he knows it. You know, he's said he doesn't like coming to church because it makes him cry every time he comes in through the doors. I just shared the gospel with him and the phone went silent. And I thought, he's going to accept the Lord. And he said, thanks for that. I love you too. Ta-da. And that was it. And I was like, what? But the point is this, you know, oftentimes we're so afraid to share the gospel, but I was so burdened that day, I had to tell him. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter what the repercussions were. It didn't matter what he said. It didn't matter what he thought. I just knew that I had to tell him. And I think if we have, you know, that attitude with every friend, family member that we come in contact with, then we need to just share the gospel in love. Alan Campbell up in Sunderland, he does the Reach, it's called Reach, it's basically they teach people to evangelize, and they, it's normally on every year the same time as our Holy Bible Club. And what they do is they teach people to evangelize, they teach people to share their faith. But I don't like to say motto, that's probably the wrong word, but the emphasis is reach the lost in love. And that's what it is reaching people in love. That's not watering down the gospel, that's not sugarcoating hell, that's not, you know, taking away from anything, but you can still talk to people in love and tell them about sin, tell them about hell, tell them about the repercussions, tell them about eternity, and do it in such a way that, you know, we're able to get through to them because of the way in which we are sharing the gospel. So a few things then to remember. This somebody has put this little list together. A few things to remember when sharing the gospel with loved ones. First of all, remember to who you are speaking. Remember to whom it is that you are speaking to. Sometimes we can get caught up in the methodology then. You know, we've learned a particular evangelistic way, or we've got a particular set of scriptures that we use when we witness, and this is the pattern we use or the routine we use, and almost we can become robotic and forget that we're actually talking to them. We would never talk to them that way in any other conversation, but then all of a sudden we change because we're witnessing now. But we need to remember who we are talking to. We need to remember who we are witnessing to. And we need to remember that they know who we are, what we were like before we were saved, what it was that we did when we were younger. So we don't want to come across as being robotic or, you know, this is not Romans Road and this verse says this and this verse says that and you must do. We want to show them that we care. We want to show them that, you know, we care enough to share the gospel with them. I think we can almost get to a point where, you know, we treat our loved one as a stranger, forgetting that it's somebody that we've grown up with or somebody that we know well or somebody that we're related to. they're not a stranger. So we ought not to talk to them like a stranger. We can still talk to them about, you know, violating God's law. Sin is a transgression law. We can still talk to them about the violation of God's law. We can still talk to them about the consequences of sin. We can still talk to them about the penalty and a place called hell. But we can do it in such a way that we're not just some cold interrogator, you know, you've broken this commandment, you've broken that command, therefore you're a lying thief and adulterer at heart. But we can do it in a way whereby we're reaching them and telling them the truth, but in a way that is not as if they're a complete and utter stranger. We don't want to leave them as if we don't know them. We don't want to, be robotic in the way in which we witness. So remember who we're talking to. And be honest. People, especially children, can spot phonies. That's why it's important that our testimony is such that I understand we're going to slip up. I understand we're sinners saved by grace. I understand that we still sin. I understand that. But our testimony ought to be such that when we're witnessing to a friend or a loved one, they ought not to be able to come back with an accusation to say, "Ah, yeah, but," because that's going to ruin any kind of witnessing opportunity. People can spot phonies, and friends and family know us best. I shared a little bit, I think, a couple of Sundays ago, but during Malcolm's funeral, of course, they were from Tonteg. I was from Llandudvadra. And there's a lot of faces that I recognised. And I recognised one lady who sat there where Elaine sat. And I know I smashed her window when I was younger. So there's the problem I'm witnessing to friends and family is that people know us. And they know who we were and what we were like. And don't get me wrong, sometimes that works in our favour because of the change in our lives. Because of the change that's taken place in our lives. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So sometimes that does work in our favour. But again, we just ought to be honest when we're witnessing to somebody. Don't beat around the bush. We can get to a point where we're tiptoeing, as it were, and you know, we're walking on eggshells, dancing around handbags, whatever else you want to say, but we're not getting to the point. And we're using a lot of words to not actually say anything. We just need to be honest. We can still say all of those in love, but we need to be honest and we need to just get to the point. Don't beat about the bush. Be straightforward, but be sensitive. Be respectful. Never sacrifice content for the sake of the conversation. So remember who you're speaking to. Be honest. Never sacrifice content for the sake of conversation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the gospel. And you know, we've talked about that in every witnessing encounter. If we're not mentioning the gospel, then there's no point. It's the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Everything that we say when it comes to the content, whether it's a stranger in the street or whether it's one of these, the religious groups we've looked at in the past few weeks, or whether it's a family member, we still need to talk to them about the law, because the law is a schoolmaster which brings us to Christ. The law stops the mouth from justifying itself. The law shows people that they've sinned. Sin is a transgression of the law. So we still need to talk about that. We still need to talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We still need to talk about the fact that man has been separated from a holy God, and that relationship can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. We still need to talk about those things, so we can't, you know, we get frustrated sometimes, and I'm sure you've all seen it where, you know, you've been maybe to a church service, or you've sat through something and the preacher's taken an hour to say absolutely nothing. Well, we don't want to do that when we're in a witnessing opportunity with our loved ones, because that might be the only opportunity we ever have. So we have to take it. So don't substitute content for the sake of conversation. We need to remember our place as well. We still need to be respectful. If you're talking to somebody who's older than you, then you need to remember your place. So, you know, if you're talking to granny, then, you know, there's a different way that you would talk to your grandmother than you would talk to a nephew. You know, so we just need to be mindful of who we are talking to. I'm sure the older generation would not like to be told what they're doing, or the fact that the way in which they've lived their lives for X amount of years has been completely wrong. They don't want to hear that anyway. They probably want to hear it even less from somebody who they would class as a young whippersnapper. So we just need to be mindful of who we're talking to, and again, how we talk to them. You need to remember, certainly for the older generation, that they grew up at a different time. You know, morals were different. Politics were different. Religion was different. Religion is a personal thing. It's not something that's discussed or talked about, or, you know, that's a private matter. So we do need to be mindful of these things, just like we need to be mindful of what other people believe in terms of religion, where they're coming from in terms of their religious beliefs. We need to be mindful of where people are, culturally, in our culture, socially, where we fit in then, in the pecking order in terms of family hierarchy. Again, one thing that we can do, especially when talking to older generation, is to share our testimony. So you're still talking about the consequences of sin. You're still talking about the reality of hell. You're still talking about the fact that, you know, sin, hell, and the gospel, but you're talking about yourself. And as I've said before, you know, it's easy for people to see the fault in others, and it's a lot harder for them to see the fault in themselves. So when you're talking about your testimony, it might be easier for them to say, oh yeah, well, I can see how you would have done that, and how that is sin, and how... So use yourself as an example then to turn the conversation around and say, well, what about you? You know, have you ever done any of those things? Have you ever, you know, made that decision that I made? Have you ever been to church? Have you ever... And just try and turn the conversation around, but just remember who you are talking to. Would we be willing to sacrifice the relationship for the soul? Let me say that again. Would we be willing to sacrifice the relationship that we have with that person for the sake of their soul being saved? Pastor Ed always used to say the same thing. He said, sometimes you just got to step out to find out. If we keep saying, I don't want to share just in case, we'll never know. Sometimes you've just got to step out. Would we be willing to take that risk? Would we be willing to take that chance? Would we be willing to maybe cause a little rift in our relationship for the sake of them hearing the gospel? Christ said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother or wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Christ is not saying that we have to hate our family members, but what he's saying is that our earthly relationships ought to seem like hatred compared to our relationship with him. So would we be willing to risk that relationship with our friend for the sake of introducing our friend to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to sacrifice everything lose everything, forfeit everything in this life for just one soul to be saved. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What would we be willing to give up to see somebody come to know the Lord? You know, we often talk about, well, it's pride that stops people coming to know Christ because they won't admit that they're sinners. But it's the same thing that stops us witnessing to our friends and our family. It's pride. You might say, well, there's nothing prideful about witnessing to a loved one. Pride always focuses on self. And the reason we don't witness to our loved one is not because of what they might think, but because we're afraid of what might happen to us. That's one of the main reasons that we don't witness. It's because of us. What would we be willing to sacrifice just to simply be obedient to the Lord? Witnessing to friends and family is not easy. Witnessing to friends and family is the hardest group of people to witness to. The passages we read said that Christ's own countrymen rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The country rejected him. His own town rejected him. And even in John chapter 7, his own brethren did not believe in him. Friends and family are the hardest group of people to witness to. It's always exciting when somebody comes to know the Lord. If there's rejoicing in heaven, there ought to be rejoicing on earth. It's always exciting when somebody comes to know the Lord. But there's something just a little bit more special about when a loved one comes to know the Lord. It's different. It might be the hardest group to witness to, but it's certainly the one that has the most reward for us as believers when we see them accept Christ as their Saviour. Any questions? Len.